Hi, I'm Cecilia Poulin, mother of two, ex-lawyer, ex-banker, writer, singer, creator of one-woman shows, international coach for professional women, international keynote speaker, breaker of conventions, and believer in creativity and the power of the feminine in all of us to change the world. Welcome to Diary of a Writer, where I talk about how I write, and read some of what I write. I really hope you enjoy it, and that it encourages you to develop your own creativity in whatever form that may take. I'm not very happy with what I've been writing today, and that happens. I think it's all just part of the messy process. And I'm also starting to feel as though each text I write is starting to have the same sort of tone, and that I need to vary it a bit more. You know, have different tones for different texts. As I said yesterday, today I was working on endings. So thinking about how to end things, and how to find resolution with things that end. So, and accept them, really, accept that things end and that they aren't ever going to come back again. So here are two texts on death, and then one on ending things. There are three texts today. I'm 15. My uncle, Rollo, is married to my mother's sister, Caroline. They are the ones who live in Hunters Hill. Rollo was a partner in one of the big accounting firms in Sydney. He had been an acrobat and almost qualified for the Olympics. He is irreverent and provocative and shocks me by walking around the house naked. I've never seen a grown man naked before. Very early one morning, before work, he goes out riding. The horse came back to the stables without him. When they found him in the field, he was still alive, but he died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital from a massive heart attack. After he dies, we were in the kitchen in their house in Hunters Hill, the kitchen in which Daniel had dared Hamish to eat a chili out of a jar in the fridge for 5 cents. The kitchen has a round wooden table and wooden chairs with rounded backs and blue and white flowery cushions tied onto them. My Aunt Caroline is sitting at the table with my mother and other friends and family, crying. My cousin Charlotte is in the room near the front of the house with a piano in it and says hello to me as though nothing has happened. She seems impervious, as though she is just going to carry on as usual. I'm 17. I have only seen my mother cry twice. She cried once because we were playing softball on the oval out the back of our place, and she was accidentally hit in the face by the softball. She put her hand up on her cheek and cried. It must have hurt like crazy. The second time, she was on the landing between my parents' bedroom and the top bathroom. We were all there, all five of us. My father put his arm around her shoulders and held her tight. I had been the one to pick up the phone on the shelf behind my father's side of the bed. It had been my grandfather, and he asked to speak to one of my parents. I think my father took the call. My cousin Daniel had been out walking with a friend on his parents' property in Mittagong. The property was owned by a number of families, and their houses were all grouped together on a rise in the valley. The valley was surrounded by steep cliffs. He and his friend were walking along the top of the cliffs. They had crossed a river, well back from the edge, but the riverbed was covered in moss and extremely slippery. Daniel's feet went out from under him and he couldn't grasp anything. He slid for 30 metres to the edge, then went over the waterfall and fell for another 30 metres. I imagine his scream resonating against the cliffs as he went over. One of the policemen said, "Make sure the mother doesn't see the body."
Daniel was an extraordinary artist. From the time he could hold a pencil, he was drawing. When he was younger, he drew mostly cartoons, and he and my brother would lie on the carpet, each with their drawing books in front of them. When he was older, he made a horse's head out of latex. After he died, we found out that he had come top of the state in art for his painting. The painting was of his art class, except that it was the Last Supper, and in the middle, where the Christ should have been, was a radio. Because that's how old he was when he died. 17. Like me. On the day of his funeral, I had a piano exam for my higher school certificate. The exam was held in a room with daylight filtering through dusty windows off Cleveland Street near Central Station. I played badly, as I always did in concerts and exams. Surely it could have been arranged that I go to my own cousin's funeral. Daniel was sensitive and gentle and kind and hugely talented. He should not have died. His art teacher says he was an old soul. After the funeral, I lie on my bed looking at my built-in cupboards and thinking about all the clothes inside and realizing that Daniel would never need clothes again. I was talking to a friend yesterday about his estranged daughter. I wondered how he could make peace with her decision not to have any contact with him. He was surprised and relieved that I didn't try and convince him that she would come around sometime. It made me think of endings and how we come to peace with endings. For 10 years, we owned a flat in Dinard on the north coast of Brittany. We bought it when my daughter was still a baby. It was small, 60 square metres, 2 small bedrooms, set one block back from the beach. We often arrived late at night from Paris and tried to open the gate quietly, despite its very particular squeak and bang. In the morning, we would wake up and open the metal shutters to let in the morning and the seagulls' cries and the glimpse of the sea when the tide was up. We decided to sell the flat because it was too small and because my husband wanted a boat and there was nowhere to keep a boat in the résidence. I took time off work to supervise the move. I sat in the old goldy green armchair with the stuffing falling out the bottom as the two moving men packed up around me. I left the flat, empty, for the last time and dropped the keys off at the real estate agent's. We are leaving this place where there are so many memories. I drive to the new house in a town further along the coast. The house is new, empty, and so terribly silent. In Dinard, there was always the noise from the beach and the town floating up. Here, everything is silent. The house is empty. The street is empty. There is no one. That evening, I couldn't face eating dinner, so I drove back to Dinard and went to the cinema. I cried deep sobs at the idea of leaving this beautiful place, this special place. What have we done? How could we have made such a stupid decision? Leaving things behind, the good and the bad in all things. Nothing is perfect. How to make decisions when each decision involves deciding between two imperfects, involves leaving things behind. The grieving process. Shock, then anger, then blame, then resignation, then acceptance. A part of all decisions, a part of death, accepting that there is an end to all things, a hard stop. I really hope you've enjoyed this episode of A Diary of a Writer. I'm running an absolutely free group coaching session on the 9th of May at 6:30 p.m. Central European Time. This session is part of my Dancing Days series where we dig deep on a particular emotion. We have already danced with fear and with anger, and this time we're going to be dancing with joy. If you have ever felt miserable and wondered how to have more joy in your life, you will find this session to be of enormous benefit. Check out the Dancing Days Dancing with Joy page on my website, www.ceciliapoulin.com. I would love it if you could join us. Thank you so much for listening.